It starts with a rumor. Whispers at the school gate. I'm not really listening at first. I promised Dave I'd pick up the keys to the Maple Drive property and meet a client there. I don't have time to stand around in a gossipy huddle with this group. But then I catch sight of Debbie Barton's face, the way her jaws just dropped, and my curiosity gets the better of me.
"Say that again," she says. "I don't believe it."
I edge closer, as does little Katifa's mother, Fatima. Jake's mother, is it Kathy? Looks from side to side before she speaks, milking her moment in the spotlight for all it's worth.
"There's a strong possibility that a famous child killer is living right here in Flintstead," she says,
pausing to let her words take effect.
"Under a new identity, of course. She murdered a little boy when she was 10, back in the 60s. Stabbed him with a kitchen knife right through his heart."
There is a collective gasp. Fatima brings her hand to her chest.
"Sally McGowan," Kathy says. "Google it when you get home."
Sally McGowan. The name rings a bell. Probably from one of those Netflix documentaries I sometimes watch when I've nothing better to do. Kids Who Kill, or Serial Killers I Have Known.
"Who told you this?"
I ask. Kathy takes a deep breath.
"Let's just say it's someone who knows someone whose ex-husband used to be a cop.
Well, this cop's buddy heard him talk about her one time. She was released when she was a young woman, has been moving around since then by all accounts, trying to keep a low profile. Now she's ended up here.
It might not be true, but you know what they say. There's no smoke without fire.
And what better place to hide out than somewhere like Flintstead?" Debbie sucks her teeth.
"I think it's disgusting that people like her get to start all over again. Where's the justice in that?"
"You'd rather they were kept in prison their whole life?" I ask. "For a crime they committed when they were children?" Debbie stares at me.
"Adult crime, adult time. Isn't that what they say? And if they are released, don't we have the right to know where they are?"
"What, so they can be mobbed by vigilantes?" Now all three women are staring at me. I wish I'd kept my mouth shut, but sometimes I can't help myself. I don't even know why I'm listening to all this crap. I should know better. Kathy sniffs.
"It's not fair that someone like that gets a second chance. What about the parents of the little boy who was murdered? They don't get the luxury of starting a new life, do they?"
"Well, it probably isn't true anyway," Fatima says. "And if it is, there's nothing we can do about it. It was years ago. I doubt she's still dangerous."
Lovely, sensible Fatima. I must suggest she drop by for coffee and a chat soon. Get to know her a little better. But not today. I'll be late if I don't get a move on.
"Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate you doing this on your day off."
Dave hands me the keys and the freshly printed property listing for 24 Maple Drive, the new Pegtons logo emblazoned at the top. "It's no problem," I say, and it isn't. There aren't many employers as flexible as Dave Pegton. It's been a godsend finding a job that fits in around Alfie's school times and so close to home as well. Home. I've got Dave to thank for that, too. The tiny two-bedroom cottage he generously described as in need of some TLC. You've got to love the jargon. What it actually needs is intensive care, but seeing as it was the only place I could afford, I ended up putting in an offer on it. New house, new job, and all because I walked into the right realtor's office at the right time. Serendipity, isn't that what it's called? Dave walks back to his desk.
"Good luck with Mrs. Marchant, by the way,"
he says over his shoulder. "Why? What's up with her?" Dave smirks.
"You'll find out soon enough."
And before I can quiz him further, the phone rings and he's talking to a client.